Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of August 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Alan Brugler of Brugler Marketing and Management out of Omaha, Nebraska, about the commodity markets. And then a bit later in the program, the folks at the Andersons outside of Logansport, Indiana, the Clymers facility that produces ethanol. Join us to discuss the cash grain market as we wrap up our time together. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated will be here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media to take a look at the forecast. You can find it all online anytime you'd like, of course, at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. Corn futures were a quarter of a cent higher in the lead option September, 322 and a half. December, 333, up a half. And the March, up a quarter at 343 and a quarter. May contract, 350 a quarter higher. July, up a half. Next year's December, up a penny at $3.72 and a quarter. August beans were down a nickel on the day at $10.17. September, at 998 and a half, 6 and a half lower. November, down 5 3/4 at 982 and a quarter. And January futures at 982 even, down 4 3/4. March contract 4 1/2 lower. The May down 4 1/4. July down 4 1/2 at 971 1/2. Next year's November beans at 928 1/2, a penny and a quarter lower. August bean oil up 33 cents at 31.50. Bean meal $3 higher at 336, or rather lower at 336.20. Wheat futures September contract for the soft red at 421 3/4, up 4 3/4. December up 4 3/4 at 441 1/2, and July at $4.80 1/2, a penny and a half higher. Next year's July for the harvest month for the hard red at $4.74, up 2 cents for the day. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August at $116.80. They're down 17 1/2 cents. And the October at 114.97 1/2, 2 1/2 lower. August feeder cattle 27 1/2 cents lower at $149.90. September at 148.72 1/2, down 12 1/2. And August lean hogs for the day, 400 pounds at $67.25, up 32 1/2. October at $59.10, they're up 90 cents. Of course, you can listen to us anytime you'd like on demand on our website. The address there is willag.org. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what some of the other markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, September contract at $41.56. That's $1.22 lower. Ethanol futures down 0.8 cents at $1.41 4/10. The gasoline, RBOB on wholesale price at $1.30 even. That's down 4 1/2 cents. Heating oil down 0.7 cents at $1.31 3/10. That's diesel fuel. Natural gas, $2.57 3/10. 4 2/10 cents lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 18,425, down 41. The U.S. dollar down 0.527 at 95.6. And the gold futures for the day at $1,345 are up $6 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy skies tonight. A stray shower, a thunderstorm is possible. Low of 73 degrees. A 30% chance of rainfall tomorrow, but not much rainfall, maybe 300s. Otherwise, sun, a mix of clouds, a high of 90 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy, a stray shower again is possible. 74 degrees for Thursday evening. And then as we look out into Friday, partly cloudy skies, some scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, a high of 87, winds out of the southwest at 5 to 10 with a 50% chance of rainfall, just 0.07 inch. Friday night, 0.6 possible at a 60% chance. Saturday, 90% chance of rainfall, another 0.4 inch possible. We'll go to an 84 degree high on Saturday during the day and drop to 66 on Saturday night. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 10th day of August. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Alan Brugler now joins us from Brugler Marketing and Management. He's in Omaha, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us here in Illinois today. Appreciate that, Alan.
My pleasure to be here.
Tell me a couple of things real quickly, because you're in Nebraska. I suspect that you've been out and about just a bit. What the crop looks like there, and then if you've got clientele maybe in the Dakotas, what they're telling you about the condition of their crops.
Well, here in Nebraska, things are actually in pretty good shape. We've had more rain than usual this summer, which in a state where a third of the corn is dry land and moisture limited, that tends to bump up our yields overall. We had a little too much rain earlier in the season, so crop development's a little bit behind. We're mostly in dough stage now, but again, a little behind. I did a few yield checks yesterday on some irrigated ground out in central Nebraska. Running 200 plus bushels, as you'd expect for a good quality irrigated ground, but also we're running into some insect problems that had not been properly controlled by the sprays. Talking to clients up in South Dakota, yeah, there's definitely some crop problems there. It's been stressed. It's been a tough year overall, just a combination of wet and dry and hot and cold and so forth. They're agreeing with the lower crop ratings that you're seeing from USDA.
You're in the midst, I think, of maybe your virtual crop tour. Is it giving you any insight into what USDA might tell us on Friday?
Well, I think the virtual corn tour results we've got to date, and we're still accepting those up until August 14th. If people want to participate, they can go to our website and request the Excel spreadsheet to do it. But what we're seeing so far is, in a lot of cases, the yield is very close to last year. That might be disappointing to some. In Ohio, we're seeing some stress reported. A few of the fields have been pretty good, but in other cases, they're seeing some definite drought stress. A lot of tip back, as you've heard on the internet and on the Twitter and so forth. We're picking that up actually all across the Corn Belt from Illinois and Iowa over to Ohio. Not quite as much here in Nebraska. But that's the wild card here. The crop condition ratings are extremely high. They're similar to 04 and 2014. But again, those are visual. USDA is going to show you ear counts, and they're going to use probably a 5-year average ear weight on Friday. And that could be slightly different than what you're seeing on the ratings, because it's actually measuring the grain rather than just the appearance of the crop.
For those of you who are interested in participating in Alan's virtual crop tour, you can still do that at his website. The address there is bruglermarketing.com. It's really simple, Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R, marketing.com. So go ahead and visit that. Thanks again, Alan, for being with us. Let's talk a little bit about commodities and marketing in particular. Soybeans finally setting back a bit today, but they've had quite a rally, relatively speaking, pushed along by exports to China. How long can we expect this to continue, and how out of ordinary is it at this time of year?
Well, it's unusual to see 10 days in a row where USDA has had to make export sales announcements under the daily reporting system, meaning that each of those sales were at least 100,000 tons. Not all of them went to China. Some of them were to unknown destinations, but we assume China in many cases. The cumulative sales for that 10-day period, over 3 million metric tons. That's unusually large for this time period, and it's because South America is basically running out of exportable product. You saw the official numbers for July. Brazil's still running a little above year ago, but they dropped off quite a bit. By October, they'll be shipping only 200,000 or 300,000 tons. So China basically got to a point where the prices were cheap enough, they decided they needed to get some coverage on the books. In some cases, they've had a grand tour that's come through the United States, and then in Chicago announced a large collective sale This case, they appear to be trying to get some of those locked in ahead of time. But again, very strong sales and very strong shipments for this time of the year. USDA is probably going to have to raise their export estimate on Friday for both old and new crop soybeans because of the pace. But again, we're also expecting them to show a pretty good crop size out there.
You think next year will be offset by the crop size?
I think the it's likely, at least for the September report, I think the production number is likely to be larger than the increase in the exports. For August, it's a little iffy because they have historically been very slow to raise yield estimates in August. In many cases, the adjustment would only be 2/10 or 3/10 of a bushel. If that's all they do, the exports could outstrip them for this August report.
What's your thought process for marketing new crop corn and soybeans?
Well, we've been fully hedged since early July on both corn and soybeans, mostly through put options. We're lightening those up, meaning rolling them down to the at-the-money options. We don't want to go naked into the report on Friday, but we think we're at fairly good support, particularly on the corn, back towards that 2014 low at 318. That's a 51-month cycle low. It could get taken out because of multi-year considerations, but we think it's cheap for now. And so, again, we're lightening up a little bit, thinking USDA may not go as far with the corn yield estimate as what the trade's looking at. And on the soybean side, look for a rally back towards that round number resistance of $10. To get past that, we're going to have a pretty friendly number from USDA on Friday on ending stocks.
Have you looked forward into the growing season in South America, and do you have any prediction as to changes yet for acreage there?
The feedback I'm getting from Brazil is that they are going to ramp up corn production, particularly in the first crop window, because they're so tight, because they shortchanged themselves on corn production. They were a little light on first crop last year, and then the Safrinha crop had the drought problem. So some acreage switching from soybeans to corn for first crop, which would be our summer crop. And that's going to limit the amount that they can expand the soybeans. The soybean producer is getting a signal to expand with the weakness in the real. A couple months ago, they were actually at all-time highs for prices in reals per ton. But, again, they're going to be somewhat limited because of the local corn demand. Argentina is going to swing more towards corn just because of the tariff changes that basically changes the soy-corn ratio down there quite a bit when they dropped the tariff on corn to zero but left the beans at 30%. It's going to take a unilateral rally in soybeans. In other words, corn doesn't go up, but beans do, over $11 to get them to switch acreage back to beans from corn. So that's kind of the market's last-ditch effort. If the U.S. production isn't as large as expected or this export demand just continues to grow, then the place it can buy acres is Argentina, but it's going to take a pretty big rally to do it.
Thank you so much, Alan, for taking the time with us today, and I do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That's Alan Brugler of Brugler Marketing and Management. Again, if you'd like to participate in his virtual crop tour, you can do that by visiting his website at BruglerMarketing.com. In today's agricultural news, it's not enough for the FDA to give consumers the information they need to make healthy choices. The agency should go a step further and aim for its policies to actually result in healthier Americans, suggest an internal FDA memo obtained by Politico. The 98-page report, the culmination of a year-long assessment known as the Nutrition Review Project, offers a rare window into FDA's thinking on hot-button issues, ranging from sodium to front-of-pack labeling. FDA leaders argue in the memo that reorienting the agency's nutrition work could save billions in healthcare costs, Far more savings than the agency's current push to overhaul food safety is projected to deliver. Although the traditional emphasis of the FDA food program has been on addressing safety issues from contaminants, there is some growing appreciation for how many health problems in the United States have nutritional causes, either in whole or in part. The review was completed in December of 2014, but never released to the public. Well, JBS plans to transfer its parent company to Ireland. JBS, the largest meat processing company in the world, is relocating its legal parent company from Brazil to Ireland. That according to an SEC filing. The move will shift more than $33 million of the company's assets to Dublin, following a slew of other companies attracted to the country's tax deals, the Irish Times reports. The move comes after JBS bought a Northern Ireland poultry company for an estimated $1.5 million. In a statement, JBS says it's continuing its efforts to reorganize the corporation as JBS Foods International, a global company incorporated in Ireland and registered for trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Well, American orange juice production continues to decline. That according to USDA's Economic Research Service, or ERS. Orange juice production in the United States peaked back in 1997 and 98 at about 1.5 million gallons, but this season it's expected to be just 533 million gallons. And it's not just citrus greening that's to blame for the downturn. The production decline reflects many factors, including the increased prevalence of disease such as citrus canker and citrus greening, as well as pressures from urbanization in parts of Florida that have reduced the area devoted to serious citrus production. And finally today, a new report from France says the nation is facing a catastrophic 30-year low in wheat yields. The Agriculture Ministry for France, the European Union's biggest grain producer, says the country is heading for its worst wheat harvest in three decades due to heavy rains and a lack of sunlight. Wheat output is projected to fall by 30% from the 2015 harvest to 29.1 million metric tons, the lowest level since the drought year of 1986. A local farmers' union says some farms are bracing for a 75% drop in production. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, we'll talk about the estate tax and the presidential candidates. Well, the estate tax is turning out to be a key difference in the tax policies of the presidential candidates, with Republican Donald Trump announcing he wants to end the estate tax, and Democrat Hillary Clinton attacking Trump's tax plan as favoring the wealthy. Longtime Republican agricultural senator from Iowa, Chuck Grassley, has tried, of course, without success, to abolish the tax.
Probably Democrats that weren't from rural areas were probably the deciding vote of why it wouldn't come up. So we tried two or three times in 2005 and 2006, and we just didn't get it. But it helps to have the president on your side.
The estate tax exemption this year is more than $5 million per individual and nearly $11 million per married couple, with the top federal tax rate above those exclusions at 40%. Clinton plans to announce her tax policy this week, but Grassley says she's already taken a position on the estate tax.
She wants to reduce it down to $3.5 million from more than $5 million where it is now. So she wants to raise the estate tax.
Senator Grassley claims the Clinton plan also raises to 45% from 40%, the tax above the lower exemption amounts. Grassley argues the moves will force some growers to break up and sell parts of their farms to pay the estate tax instead of passing it on to the next generation. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, Agronomy Day at Illinois has moved this year. It'll be a bit further south of campus at the new facilities on the First Street Farm, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
Agronomy Day will be held here in 2016, actually at the new farm facilities on South First Street. So it'll be a change in venue from what most everybody has become accustomed to down through the years. It'll be held on August 18th. The format is going to be virtually identical in terms of the tours that we'll have. Three or four or five tours that people can participate in if they'd like to. But of course, the biggest change is where you show up for the tour.
The South First Street facility is about 3 miles or so from the usual place. However, it's in a different city on the map. The address is Savoy. Just go straight south from the U of I's football and basketball arenas on First Street, and you'll find the farm on the east side of the road. The doors open at 7 a.m. Thursday, August the 18th, with a meal at the noon hour. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Wednesday afternoon. It is the 10th day of August. We're now joined by Stephen Linneber. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, to take a look at what their basis levels are like and the crops in their area. Thanks so much for being with us, Stephen.
You bet, Todd. You bet.
Well, let's start first with crop tours. We just heard from Alan Brugler, and he's got a virtual tour running, which people can sign up for if they'd like, at BruglerMarketing.com, and has been into South Dakota. Things don't look so great there. I know that I've got a couple folks that are heading from here into the Delta region. They'll be through that Memphis and Tunica area, the Gleason-Lowry folks. We expect to hear from them in the next several hours. And then, of course, you in Indiana, central, north central part of Indiana. What does your condition look like?
I think if you choose and pick your poison as to which fields you do those yield checks in, things look still relatively good. Over the past 10 days, lack of rainfall has really started to watch this thing maybe suffer just a little bit. A little stressed looking, starting to show up in those crops, especially the beans. But for the most part, we feel the crop is there. Definitely banking on a rainfall here. The next 72 hours is going to be much needed, or our conversation could differ a little when we speak again with lack of rainfall. But as of right now, things okay. In the local climbers draw territory, I think you start to move north of Royal Center, north of the ethanol facility, and sandier ground is really starting to show that impact at a lot quicker pace.
And would that be for both corn and soybean, Jess?
Yes. Yes, probably much more on soybeans because, you know, could need about two August rains to really finish that thing off. But I would say in that region, you're talking both corn and beans that need a little bit of help.
What's your basis like for corn today?
Corn right now at the Climbers facility is six under the September just because we've seen a tremendous amount of corn movement preparing for, you know, even though the crop is suffering a little today, still feels like we're going to overproduce on-farm storage. So bushel movement at an ample supply that has caused about a 10-cent basis fade over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you've faded, and I expect as long as you get a rainfall or once the crop actually starts to come in, you expect that
right
to widen out even more.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see that rainfall. A lot of facilities taking their old crop bid to new crop values somewhere, you know, around 16 under the December. 15 to 16 under the December, I think, would reflect a September delivered bid compared to all fall. So nickel premium still surfaces there for early corn, but it sure feels like we've got what we need for the time being. Really, the pressure isn't really going to start to weigh on our shoulders until we see if there's going to be any rainfall out of this here the next 10 days.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
See you.
That is Stephen Linneber. He is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. That's their ethanol-producing facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. In a couple of minutes, we'll be back. We'll talk about the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Of course, you can find us online anytime you'd like on demand at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National S'mores Day. The Marshmallow Graham Cracker Chocolate Treat dates back at least till the early 1900s, when American food companies invented Malamars and Moon Pies. It's also St. Lawrence of Rome Day, patron of cooks, protector of vineyards. On this day in agricultural history in 1810, William Willett was born. An English builder, he is credited with the invention of daylight savings time. Willett says he had the idea while taking an early summer morning ride near his home in London. But his idea was not adopted until after his death in World War I as a way for wartime fuel savings. In 1817, Francis Lowell died, an American manufacturer. He was the principal founder of what is said to have been the world's first textile mill, in which under one roof, raw cotton was turned into finished cloth. In 1889, Dan Rylands patented a screw cap for bottles. He was employed at the Hope Glass Works, Barnsley, Yorkshire, England. And in 1917, Clara Peller was born. She is the actress who is famous for her Wendy's TV commercial, "Where's the Beef?" And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is now here to take a look at the weather forecast. He's from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, thanks for being with us. Tell me about those areas in Ohio and northeastern Indiana that have been dried. Is there any relief on the way for them?
There is, and it's going to be fairly significant for parts of Ohio. Now, northeastern sections of Indiana and northwesternmost Ohio may not get a lot of rain out of this deal, but we will see rain occur in quite a few areas. The most significant precipitation is going to be in the heart of Ohio. Central, western, and southern sections of the state will end up with some significant amounts of rain, probably running 1 to 3 inches, some local totals over 4 inches. The one bit of encouragement is that midday today, the computer forecast models were starting to lift the storm a little more to the north. And if that continues, we will bring some needed rain to northeastern Indiana and northwestern Ohio. And if everything continues on this track, maybe even Michigan. Now, these three areas have been very, very dry for several weeks, and it's gotten a lot worse here with above normal temperatures in the last several days. So the stress levels in crops is pretty high. So this is an important event, certainly for soybeans in these states.
The rest of the Corn Belt still doing okay?
Yes. There's a few pockets of dryness out on the far western fringes of the region, South Dakota and a few areas in Nebraska. We're going to dry out a few spots in central Iowa for a little bit, but they've got good subsoil moisture. So, no, I don't think there's going to be much of a threat for any other production area in the Midwest, at least not in the immediate future.
Let's circle the rest of the globe now. Start with the West Texas cotton crop.
Yeah, the West Texas cotton crop, they have about 40% of that crop is not irrigated, and that crop has been limping along in all those day after day 100 degree temperatures that have been occurring here this summer. Their cooler days are in the 90s. That's still pretty stressful for crops that don't have any moisture to work with. So there's going to be a significant amount of tropical moisture moving into that area starting on Thursday night and continuing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So there was going to be some relief in those areas, and we're hoping it'll be enough to turn that crop around a little bit. outside of Texas. We're watching some areas in the rest of the world, and over in Europe in particular. France has been dry for multiple weeks. I think we talked about that last Wednesday, and it is still dry and going to go another 7 days without rainfall significance, and then it's going to get very hot as well late this coming weekend, early next week. So their corn and sunseed crop is definitely in jeopardy. There's some dryness also in Ukraine and some eastern portions of both Romania and Bulgaria. These areas are seeing some scattered showers, but they're just not getting the kind of rain they need, so they're also on the list of places to watch.
Drew, thanks so much.
All right, you have a good day.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to keep a couple of things in mind next week. I'll be at the Illinois State Fair and the Orr Center on Tuesday. That's Ag Day. And then on the 18th, Thursday morning, you're invited out to Agronomy Day on the South Farms, actually the further South Farms, because we've moved our facilities, at least for this particular event. We've moved the event to a different facility on South First Street. Just go straight south from the Assembly Hall, the Memorial Stadium area on First Street, and you'll find it on the east or the left side of the road.